Today's Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a and 22 to 32, where it's part of the crowd. We can be inspired by Peter, who enthusiastically shares the implications of the resurrection before a huge crowd. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses.
Where do you think that photo was taken? Where?
London?
Oh, yeah, well, it could be. That's probably the biggest crowd we've seen for a while. Around Buck Palace, Rome, could be Egypt, could be the Philippines. It's a demonstration. It's a protest. And you can see people have got banners. Well, I had a banner sent to me the other day on the email, and I looked at it and I thought, yes. I hope you also respond as I did. It says, Obama is not a brown-skinned, anti-war socialist who gives away free health care. You're thinking of Jesus. Let me run that past you again. Obama, meaning the President of the United States, Obama is not a brown-skinned, anti-war socialist who gives away free health care. You're thinking of Jesus. Well, that's right. Jesus was brown-skinned. Jesus included everybody. He was a socialist. He gave health and healing and wholeness. He gave away free health care. He abhorred violence. He was anti-war. Was this the message that Peter had? Peter addressed a crowd at Pentecost. Pentecost was the harvest festival. People were there enjoying seeing the sheaves of wheat up there and the canned peaches that people, whatever they had, their harvest that they were giving thanks to God for the harvest of the earth. But there was the harvest of the Spirit that we recognise in Acts chapter 2. And the people started to have this strange sensation. They talked and they spoke and the languages were mixed up and confused, and yet they seemed to understand what was going on. And the crowd said, these people are drunk. And he said, hey, hang on, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Fair go. And then Peter stood up and raised his voice. Now, Lachlan McKenzie wasn't there to give him amplification. He had to raise his voice if it was a crowd, something like that. They had crowded in to Jerusalem for this festival. Now, my friend John Henson, I don't know him, but he's my friend because of the translation, Good as New. He writes it like this. This is after the complaint about the people being drunk and so on. And the tail end of that says, some thought the whole thing funny and said, it looks like they've had a few drinks. This was the cue for Rocky to stand up where he could be seen with the other 11 special friends around him. He shouted to the crowd. That makes more sense. What do you do in a crowd? You saw the crowds around Buckingham Palace. They're all excited. They're talking to one another. If when William and Kate came out on the balcony for that moment that a certain friend of ours was waiting for when we were watching it at Gateways the other night, if he had addressed the crowd, they wouldn't have been heard without marvellous amplification. So here's Rocky. By the way, why is he called Rocky? His name was Petros. And after that great affirmation when, Jesus said, listen, what's the buzz? What are people saying about me? And they said, oh, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you come back from the dead, and others say, oh, no, he's Elijah. But who do you say? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well done, Peter. From now on, I shall call you Rocky. Petros becomes Petra. Now, Petra is not a huge rock which is solid foundation. Petra, grammatically, is translated a chip off a ledge. And I translate that as a chip off the old block. So, Petros, Petra, is a leader. But is he really the right material for leadership? What happened when Jesus was being tried? This is when he needed the greatest amount of support. And where was Peter? He was around, he was hanging about, but when he was asked, you're a friend, don't know who you're talking about, never met him. He let Jesus down. When they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the arrest was mounting upon Jesus. And what did Rocky do? He got up a sword. Where did he get a sword from? He shouldn't have been carrying a sword. Maybe he secreted it. He was thinking maybe he might join the zealots later on or something or other. They'd just as soon slit a Roman's throat than buy you lunch. Anyway, he sliced off the Malchus, the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus rebuked him. Put your sword up, that's not what we're about. And right through, this character is not the most likely to be a leader, and yet here he is, standing up and shouting, this Jesus whom you had the Romans killed, not the end of the story. That is not the end of the story. Here's boldness. And he talks about the stories. Now, preaching, we better just go back a minute or two. How did preaching come about? The proclamation of the good news. The word is euangelion. In Greek, EU is the sound for good, so you get the eulogy in a funeral service is the good word, logos word, eulogy, good word, good sounding word. Euangelion, good message. The angelos was the messenger, the angel. Hey, hang on. Guess what? In Mark, who's the first one to be given the task of proclaiming? Certain women who went to the tomb. And that chap dressed in white said, go and tell. Now, if ever you needed authority for women ministers, here it is. It is the word from the angel. That's a much higher authority than the courts of the church. So right from the word go, it's the women who go and tell the message. That's also repeated in Matthew and Luke, slight variation, but go and tell, go and tell. Jesus, you remember, had commanded 70 to go and tell the message, the good news. After the resurrection, there's the story of Jesus on the Mount telling the disciples to go into all the world and proclaim the message, the good news. And that's Peter, who is following in that same tradition of having something worth saying. And he's so enthused about it that he raises his voice over the crowd. Now, Peter was not an educated man, but he was well off. He had a fishing company. And in fact, he owned a boat. It was that very boat that Jesus borrowed to preach from. And by the way, Jesus also did a bit of preaching. You remember the Emmaus story? The two on their way to Emmaus and the third joins them. And what does that third one do? It preaches a little sermon on the way. So there's a great tradition through the Gospels of proclamation. Now we have it Sunday by Sunday. How is it that we want to do to take this message to the world? Well, I thought about this in relation to Frontier Services. Each Sunday we rehearse, as it were, the story. We hear the familiar stories. Now, we've been coming here for 6 years or something, and we hear the same stories in a 3-year cycle. But we hear it afresh as the preacher, as the singing, as various aspects of the worship bring a fresh approach. We hear the familiar old story, and it's about hope springing eternal. It's about not giving in. It's about not letting the circumstances overwhelm us. It's about a brown-skinned, anti-war socialist who gives away free health care. It's about that one that we dare to live our lives out in the community. And Frontier Services has established a network of care and pastoral concern to proclaim that same good news to those in remote areas. So from those few women who went to the tomb, who are given the commission to go and tell, to Peter, who proclaimed in a loud voice, shouting out, "This Jesus whom you took, that's not the end of the story." And then the Acts of the Apostles is the story of how that good news went from Jerusalem right to the very heart centre of the Roman Empire in Rome. And that commission comes down to us through the community centre, through Coffee Corner, through so many ways in which this church is reaching out with the euangelion, the good story for the world that God loves so much that he called us to proclaim the word to them. Amen.